okay, here's an emergency we need to pray for. Jared Stallard taken to Indian Path Hospital this morning, so let's pray with Hal Jenkins, his grandson. So let's pray for little Jared. And also, here's another one here on the pulpit. Pastor, please pray for James Metcalf, burned real bad. So here's a little boy taken to the hospital, Jared, and James Metcalf burned. So let's do pray for these two, and we'll have many, many other needs. Let's remember them this time, that we want to certainly want to pray that God will bless His word as it goes out. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for these right now. Father, we do bring these two requests to you at this time. Little Jared, Lord, they've taken him up to Indian Path Hospital. I pray, God, that you'd undertake for him. We don't know the nature of the illness, but Lord, God is a sovereign, omniscient God. He knows all about that situation, and we turn him over to thee. And Lord, would you be the great physician to this precious boy today, I pray. And then, Lord, we pray for this James Metcalf, Lord, that suffered a bad burn. Lord, we know you're able to heal. Our God is not only able to save, but he's able to heal and help us in time of need. And I pray for James, God, that you'd help him. May he look to thee. If he's not saved, may he look to thee and be saved. And if he is, may he be drawn closer to thee, and because of what you're going to do for him during this time. And then, Lord, bless throughout these buildings today, in preschool churches and primary church and junior church, God, would you bless our leaders and workers as they minister to the boys and girls over there. And may the word of God the seed of the word of God find good soil in their hearts and lives and bring forth eternal fruit. And blessing this service today, and may we receive the word of God. And may, Father, we not be here just to be seen or see somebody, but may we be here, Lord, may we have come here to see Jesus and get something from his word. And may we feast off of the bread of heaven, I pray today. Holy Spirit of God, help me as I break the bread. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit distribute that heavenly manna, the bread of life, to people here today. May we see Jesus. May we get a new vision of him. May we focus on him today. He's the only one who can help us. May we truly look to the Lamb of God. Anoint me as I preach. And Lord, get glory through this service, and bless your word, and may your saints be encouraged, and may a discouraged saint, Lord, be encouraged today to look to thee and bless that lost man, woman, boy, or girl. May they turn to Jesus and get saved. Somebody here, Lord, playing church, may they get tired of hypocrisy, and may they get saved and born again before they leave here. And we just commit this service into your hands. Defeat the devil and hindering spirits. And Lord, may you get the glory. Now again, anoint me as I preach in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the little book of Jude. Little book of Jude right before the book of Revelation. Page 1328. Laura knew I was going to say that. I said, if you're sick, Laura. Because I want you to know I hadn't changed. I hope you haven't. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. I have that underlined there. I think I must have preached on that sometime. If I thought, I'm going to preach on it again sometime, if the Lord let. He's talking to Christians, first of all, been sanctified by God. And people say, oh, have you been sanctified? Yes, you're saved, you're sanctified. The Bible says. Now, I believe in a threefold sanctification. We have been sanctified in God's presence. Daily we are being sanctified, and we will be completely sanctified someday. And then preserved. I believed in the preservation of the saints. And some of you look like, as Dr. Lincoln said, you've been pickled this morning. Not preserved, but pickled. But Brother Leroy was telling me that last Sunday went to homecoming, and the preacher said, now, you've got to hang on, folks. A lot of people not hanging on. Well, the Bible says we're preserved in Jesus. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You can't keep yourself saved. First of all, you can't save yourself. Then your puny efforts can't keep yourself saved. You better just look to the Lamb of God. Let Him take care of it. Then try to please Him every day. And then call to be saints, called out of darkness into life. Let me move on. That's not my message. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God, of our God, into lasciviousness, and denying the only God, only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to just base my message today on part of verse 3, the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now we're in bad shape in America. Our homes are on the rocks. Over 50% of marriages end in divorce. Drugs are devastating our land. I mean, America doesn't have the moral fiber to do anything about the drug problem. One thing about old Khomeini, he had the answer to it, just line them up and shoot them. I don't know of any other answer, really. I mean, we don't have the will to have strong enough laws in America, it seems like, and I don't know the answer to the drug problem. Our present methods are failing. You get saved, you get off the stuff, though, won't you? That's the real salvation is the cure for the drug problem. And then alcoholism is at an all-time high in America. You know, it's sad. 28 years ago when I came here, you couldn't buy a bottle of beer in this county. And you couldn't buy legally, did they have liquor in John City, liquor stores in John City? Well, anyway, liquor with the drinks come in anyway. And it's sad, drive around and see all these beer joints. Well, I hope that still bothers you. But we have become a nation of drunkards in the last few years. And in a recent poll, over 75% of our adults admit to at least one affair since they've been married with somebody other than their husband or wife. And then in another poll, it showed that 78% of our teens are sexually active before graduating from high school. And I heard on Dr. Dobson's program these statistics given, and they say that it's the same in the liberal churches as it is in the evangelical churches among teens. 78% are active sexually before graduating from high school. You would think that in fundamental, I guess when he said evangelical, that means every bird in the bush, and way over here to the left, new evangelicals to the fundamentalists, all that crowd, I guess, and it's still 78% are active sexually before they get out of high school. But you would think it'd be better in evangelical churches, but it's not. Then there have been 1.5 million abortions each year in America since the Roe v. Wade decision in 1973. 1.5 million babies murdered every year. That's what, 25, 28, I didn't stop to add it up since 73. It's well in the 20 millions of babies that have been murdered. Talk about choice. That's murder. It's not choice, it's murder. And if there is a God in heaven, and there is, the murder of these millions of unborn babies will bring down the judgment hand of God upon America. Folks, we're not going to get by with murdering babies by the millions. We're not going to do it. You think God's going to let us get by with that? No, God's not going to let us get by with it. Then statistics show that murder, robbery, rape, and other violent crimes are up all across the land. When I was a boy, we never locked our doors. And I felt safe as a bug in a rug. And we never locked our doors at night. But today, the average American lives in fear behind bolted doors, day and night. And millions of Americans won't even answer the door after dark. And you can't hardly blame them with the violence that's going on around today all over our country. And AIDS and syphilis and gonorrhea and over 30 venereal diseases are sweeping through our populace. Why? It's the judgment of God on America because we're whoremongering. That's the answer. That's why. Now, on and on I could go in describing the mess we're in America, but what caused this? What's the root cause of the problems we have today? How do we get in the shape we're in? I mean, we're in bad shape now. How do we get there? Some say it's because we're obsessed with the material things of life. In America, we became obsessed with the material things of life in America after World War II, or it started during World War II. And materialism certainly is a contributing factor to our moral decline. The dollar bill has become our God in America. Then some say we've become a nation of pleasure seekers. Everybody just won't have big time. All they want out of life is just have a ball. Live it up. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we'll die. Live it up while you have life. That's the philosophy of the average Americans. And they're out to have a ball. And we have made a god out of sports today in America. Now, I love sports. You know that very well. But we've made a god out of basketball and baseball and football in America. The average American gets down and worships at that boob tube, the shrine of the boob tube, every Sunday afternoon, or other times too. By the way, Sunday is not the time to fill your mind with sports if you're going to worship God. And I better not get off on that because I got plenty more to say here other than that. I'll preach on that some other time. But, you know, parents, it's certainly okay to have your kids to participate in sports. There's good physical exercise is certainly good. But you need to teach them there are more important things in life than playing ball. And you need to get your priorities right. I've told you before, I was captain of the high school football team down at my hometown, Soddy, Tennessee. And I was captain of the football team, and we played 1 mile from my home. 1 mile from my home. And my parents never came the first time to see me play. And then I went off to school, played football in junior college and down at Southern Mississippi University. And we played against the University of Alabama and Montgomery, played in the Sun Bowl, other well-known teams. My parents didn't come see me play one time. Now, if it had been my kids, I'd have crawled there. I'd have crawled to see them play. I mean, if I'd got there somewhere, if I had to hitchhike. But my parents didn't come see me play. My dad said, "Son, I'm proud of you, but I feel out of place at a ball game." And I love sports, and I sort of feel out of place around that crowded ball game. I mean, Roy, I think you were with me, my brother. And there's two characters came in down at the University of Tennessee, and they come in drunk as a skunk and vomited all over the place. And here I had to see, and worst of all, Tennessee got clobbered that day. Here a bunch of drunks vomiting all over the place. They were living it up, weren't they? They were really having fun, weren't they? They were really having fun. But anyway, my dad said, "Son, I feel out of place to ball game." You know what that taught me? That taught me there's some things more important than playing ball, and that's living for Jesus. And we need to get that through to our children. The most important thing in life is living for Jesus. Others would say America's on the skids because of the overemphasis or wrong, twisted emphasis on sex in America today. And we have taken the God-given gift of sex. And this God-given gift of sex is intended by God for the marriage institution. And what we've done, we've perverted it, and we've twisted it, and we have spawned a generation of perverts in America today. And young people, listen to your preacher. Keep yourself pure. And by the way, adults, keep yourself pure too. But girls, you're foolish to let a boy touch you until he puts a wedding ring on your finger. You're foolish, girls, to allow that. You're going to be the loser if you do it. And let me say a word to you sorry boys while I'm at it. keep your cotton picking hands off these girls until you get married. It's what you ought to do, boys. You're a sorry low down rascal if you don't be a gentleman around these girls. So be a gentleman and keep your hands off these girls till you get married. God says in Proverbs 6:32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. God says if you commit adultery, you are an idiot. That's lack of understanding. You're dumb. I'm dumb, maybe. Maybe be a better word. That might be a better word. He said, God says, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. And if God says you lack understanding and you're destroying your soul, I'll guarantee you God's word will be true. God's word will be true. Now, I could give you other reasons why America is on the toboggan slide morally and spiritually. But let me give you what I believe is the reason why we're in bad shape across America. And why the last 50 to 60 years we've been on a downward spiral morally and spiritually. I believe we're in the shape we're in across America this morning because we have turned from the old time religion in America. We've turned from the Word of God and we've turned from the God of the Word in this country. And we're reaping the whirlwind, aren't we? Up until World War I, every denomination in America believed the Bible is God's Word and believed in the cardinal doctrines of the faith. But this morning, while I stand here and preach, most preachers in most pulpits across America don't even believe the Bible's totally inspired from cover to cover. And then most preachers standing in the pulpits across America this morning don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the blood atonement. They don't believe in the miracles. They don't believe in a literal hell. And a lot of them don't even believe in literal heaven. God help us. We're reaping the whirlwind of leaving the old-time religion in America. And then German rationalism came across the ocean following World War I, infiltrated our boys and girls, now listen, now don't laugh and talk now while I preach. This is very serious. We're in very serious shape in America. And everybody ought to listen to what I've got to say. I'm not up here just earning my salary. I am delivering a burden from my soul to you today. I mean, we've lost this thing. German rationalism came across the ocean, infiltrated our seminaries and denominations. And when the old-time religion, When this German rationalism and unbelief and liberal theology started to come into our seminaries in the 20s and 30s and 40s, the old-time religion went out the back door. And if you believe this Bible from cover to cover today, you're looked down upon as being a fundamentalist. But I want to make another confession. If you're wondering about Preacher Lashley this morning, wander no longer. I'm one of those fundamentalists. Hallelujah. And by the way, I intend to die that way. A lot of people wavering, they'll take a stand and then they'll waver. I intend to die a fundamentalist, a Bible-believing fundamentalist. And that's the only way that'll take you to heaven. The old-time religion is the only thing that gets you to heaven. And these liberals are unregenerates. And they're as lost, these unbelieving liberals and unregenerates, they're as lost as a goose in a hailstone. I don't care how well they can preach. I don't care how much theology they know. If they don't believe that Bible, if they don't believe Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God, they're unregenerates. We need to understand that. It's not a matter of interpretation. No, it's rejecting the counsel of God in His Word. It's rejecting the Word of God. Let me go another step further. Yes, certainly we've turned, many denominations have turned away from the old-time religion to liberalism. Let me say something else. I think most of our conservative, fundamental, Bible-believing churches have left the old-time religion too. We're just as cold and dead and powerless as the liberal churches in many cases. And folks, a dead fundamentalist is just as dead as a liberal. Now, what's the difference? If you have two corpses here, one is a beautiful-looking corpse and the other is not so beautiful, what's the difference? They're both corpses. They're both dead, aren't they? Now, what's the difference in a dead, cold fundamentalist and a dead, cold liberal? They're both dead. They're both dead. Something's drastically wrong when there's deadness there. And we have a form of godliness in our fundamental churches, and we're cold and dead and powerless, and because of that, the world's come in like a tide, and even our Bible-believing churches. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, Paul said, turn away from that crowd. You know what? I don't want to be a professional preacher. I guess you ought to see I'm not this morning. I don't want to be a professional. I want to serve the Lord. And I want Him to be real to me. And I don't want a form. I don't want a form. And folks, God help us. Let's don't just have a form. And you deny the power thereof. Just going through the motions. Have a form. God help us not to degenerate into just a form. And we need to turn from a form of godliness in our Bible-believing churches and turn back to the old-time religion. The Laodicean church age that will exist right before Jesus comes back in the seventh church age, and the chapter, Revelation chapter 3 describes the church right before Jesus comes back, and it's called the Laodicean church and the lukewarm church. And I'm afraid this describes our churches across America. And Jesus told this church, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, Jesus said to the church of this age, the Laodicean church age, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Jesus said our Laodicean churches are so cold and dead and worldly that He said it makes me sick at my stomach. And He said, I'm just going to regurgitate you right out of my mouth. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's what the Word of God says. You say, Preacher Lasher, the reason we're in this mess we're in today is because we've left the old-time religion. Well, what is the old-time religion? Well, I'm glad you're asked, because I'm just now fixing to tell you. Let me tell you briefly. My introduction's already been over 15 minutes now, so I'm going to take about 5 or 10 to give him a message now. But we are in bad shape, and I've already told you because we've left the old-time religion. Now, let me just tell you what the old-time religion is. Many aspects of it. Many, many aspects of it. Let me just give you just a few, 3 or 4 here today, this morning. The first, and I believe is the most important. This is really it now, folks. Let's don't miss this important thing. I believe the first thing about the old time religion has to be that the presence of the Lord is missing in our churches today. Isn't that sad? To people meet Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and the Lord not show up. No presence of the Lord. Oh, if I go very long without feeling the presence of the Lord. And I know you can't go on feelings, but I just like to know His presence every now and then, don't you? I've just got to know every now and then the presence of the Lord. The greatest thing that can happen to a person is to know the reality of the Lord's presence. I feel sorry for you if you've never known the presence of the Lord in your life. Then I think the greatest thing that can happen to a church is not to run 600, 700, 800, 900, 1,000 Sunday school and have a big offering, or have a beautiful church with chandeliers like this. This is not the, and carp, people want to come in and sit on these padded pews, and I like padded pews too, but that's not the greatest thing about a church. I'd rather sit on a slab here and have God here and sit on a padded pew without the presence of the Lord. I'd rather rip this carpet up and put sawdust down here and have God here to have that carpet without God. Now folks, we better get down to business here. Better get down to business. The old timers would sing, "Brethren, we have met to worship and to adore the Lord our God. Would you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be what, scattered all around." We need the Lord. I'm glad when I was a boy, there's still a little of the old-time religion left, still around. I'm glad every now and then when I was a boy, I'd get around the old-time religion, and I'd go to church and the Lord would show up. Brother, I like to be around when the Lord shows up, don't you? I like to be around when the Lord shows up. Business picks up when the Lord passes by. And members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we're no different than a liberal church, and we're no different than a Roman Catholic church if the Lord's presence is not here. Moses told the Lord in Exodus 33:16, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?" It's this: "Is it not in that thou goest with us?" Do you hear that? "How do we know, Lord, that we found grace in your sight?" Moses said, "Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separate." Now there's real separation. Right there's real separation. People talk about separated life. Right there's separation. The Lord going with us. Separation. Now I believe in separation from apostasy and unbelief. I don't believe in hobnobbing the liberals. And I don't believe you're separated because you run with the right crowd. And I don't believe you're separated primarily because you don't drink or dance or smoke or chew. But I believe you're separated from the world when you have the presence of the Lord in your life. That's real separation. And if we don't have the presence of the Lord, we're separationist hypocrites. And members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, do you want to do something for our church and for our young people? We're concerned about our young people, and we ought to be concerned that they'd grow up and serve God and live for Jesus. But here's what we can do for our church and for our young people. Adults, let's get our hearts right with God. And let's get on our face and pray and seek the presence of the Lord. Seek the face of God until the Lord shows up in our services. And our services will be dead and dry and cold. And folks, we'll lose our young people unless every now and then we experience the presence of the Lord in our services. I'm glad before I went off to college in 1950, I'm glad a Holy Ghost revival came to my hometown. And Brother God moved in. I mean, God moved in up Moxon Holler. People got saved. The presence of God was there. And I'm glad before I went off to college that I saw a real old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival with God moving on the scene. And it's the greatest thing in the world, an old-fashioned revival. It's the greatest thing in the world. I'm glad I saw that before I went off. And we need it. You say, "Preacher, how are we going to keep our young people?" Folks, let's meet God's conditions and let's get right with God around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and let's have revival, and that'll keep our young people. We can't give enough hot dogs away to keep our young people without God on the scene. Now, I'm not against giving a hot dog out and having a good time with our young people. But young people, what you need is the reality, the presence of the Lord in your life. And that alone. You want parents, you want young people to go straight and they leave home. Get them born again. Get the Lord real in their lives. They'll go straight when they leave mama's dress tail, I'll guarantee you. They'll go straight. God will see to that. And I want the presence of God in my life and in this church more than anything else in this world. I mean, more than the salary you give me. More than health, God's given me good health in my body. And more than health in this body, I want God's presence. And I don't want to have to think of preaching the rest of my days on this earth without God's help, without God's touch every now and then. I don't want it. And folks, let's don't live and let's don't work around the Buffalo Ridge without God's help. We need God's help. And I just really... don't want to live without His presence. I really don't. If I couldn't have God's presence in my life the rest of my days on this earth, if I had to preach the rest of my time on this earth without God's presence, I'd assume the Lord just take me on home this morning. I really had. I really mean that. I just want the Lord's presence. And you know what? Folks, I want God's presence in your life. I mean, I don't want to see you live and carry on the motions of a church without the touch and the presence of God on your life. Choir, I want God's presence on you while you sing. You sing beautifully, but pray for God's blessing and God's touch on you as you sing. Folks, we just need reality. I'm preaching for reality this morning. For reality. That's what we need. I came here 28 years ago, right before I came here 28 years ago. I went out in the woods up in Illinois, 100 miles west of Chicago, out in the woods. And I was praying about coming down here. And the Lord spoke to my heart, as I've told you, out of Exodus 33:14, where he told Moses, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And I was saying, "Lord, I don't want to go down there unless you go with me." And it just seemed like the Lord spoke to me from that verse and just gave me that sweet assurance that he's going to be with me when I came down here. And I prayed that next verse back, the prayer that Moses prayed. He said, "Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." And I said, "Lord, I don't want to go down there unless you go with me." And the Lord has kept his promise for 28 years. Every now and then, the Lord lets me know the sweetness of his presence. Every now and then, the Lord reminds me that he kept his promise. And there's nothing else in this world, folks, like the sense of God's presence. Now, let me give you quickly. And when a preacher says quickly, you know he's lying in his teeth. You know that. You know there's not a word of truth in it when he says that. But let me move to the next point anyway. And I've persecuted you a little while, let me persecute you on the next point. But the next aspect of the old time religion, I believe that's missing today, and I believe old time holy living is missing in our churches. I mean old time holy godly living. There are very few people who are walking with God. You don't know many people walking with God. I mean, there are just not many around walking with God. There are very few people who are living out and out and out and out for Jesus Christ. There are very few people living pure lives. The old-time religion used to make people give up their drinking. It used to make them give up their adultery. It used to make them give up their cussing. It'd give up their dancing, give up their lying, and live a godly life and put some clothes on. You don't see much that type of holy living today. Now somebody say amen there. Some of you henpecked men say amen right there. Amen. Your wife's trying to keep you shut up, isn't she? Second Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." Now I realize. I don't preach sinless perfection. But I believe, folks, when a person gets saved, there ought to be some changes made in their life. How can you be the same when you're an old creature, you're unsaved, you're living in sin, you get saved, you come out of the darkness into the light, you're a new creature in Christ? How can it help but make some change in your life? That's old-time religion. Now, if you miss that, you don't have the old-time religion. And I believe there are not many people who know anything about the old-time religion today because there are not many people living godly lives and walking with the Lord. Then I believe another major aspect of the old-time religion that's missing today to a great degree, and listen to this, old-time conviction and old-time conversion. I mean, how long has it been since you've seen somebody get under conviction and get miserable where they couldn't sleep and eat and rest and they were miserable and then they turned to Jesus and got saved and got born again and the burden lifted? How long has it been since you've seen that type of conversion? That's what's missing in our churches today. We're getting a lot of people to make decisions, join our churches, and getting them baptized. But folks, we need to confess, we're getting few people born again in our Bible. I'm not talking about the liberal church. I'm talking about our Bible-believing churches today. And until the reason that's so vital, until you get born again, you can't live the Christian life. Folks, a lot of people trying to live the Christian life reason and trying to dedicate themselves, they need first of all get born again, then the Lord help them to live the Christian life. Many of you won't come back to church tonight? You don't have a desire to come back to church. You've never been born again. I mean, you get born again, you'll want to go to God's house. Listen, they can't keep you away from God's house when you get a good case of old-time religion. And you know why so many people don't read the Bible and pray? Until you get born again, you won't have a hunger for God's Word. Listen, I can't wait. Ellen's got the best dinner you've ever seen prepared today. I can't wait till I get down and eat that dinner today. And I have a good appetite for that physical food. And you know what reason people don't love the Word of God and read the Word of God? They don't have an appetite for it. The new birth will give you an appetite for the Word of God. And it'll give you an appetite to pray. Listen, prayer for a born-again Christian is just as natural as breathing. Isn't that right? Now, am I telling you the truth today, folks? I'm telling you the truth. Prayer for a born-again believer is just as natural as breathing. Going to bed, natural as going to bed at night and getting on. I'm talking about if you're born again. Now let me say this. And I'm not trying to rob anybody of their assurance. Because you can't, a born again person, you can't take away their assurance that way. The Holy Ghost will take care of that. But I want to say this. If you've walked the aisle, and if you've joined the church, and if I've baptized you, and you didn't get born again, and there's no change in your life, I want to humbly get on my knees and apologize to you. I want to apologize, and I want to beg your forgiveness. I didn't mean to be a party in deceiving you. If you went through the motions of church membership and baptism and didn't get born again, and I'm sorry. I didn't want you to miss the new birth. I didn't want you to miss the old-time religion. I don't want a person, I'm responsible for you as your pastor. I don't want one of you to miss the old-time religion. And if you have gone through the motions, folks, I wouldn't let my pride hold me back, keep me. I'd come to this altar and I'd say, Preacher Lashley, I'm going to stay on my knees. I'm not going home to eat until I get saved. Well, I know it. And I have a life-changing experience. And so I ask you to come this morning. If you don't have that blessed assurance that you've been born again, because if you miss the new birth, you've missed Jesus, see. That's the thing. You can make a profession and join the church and have Jesus not be around. That's why you need a new birth. If any man have Christ, he has life. He has the new birth. And if you miss the new birth, you miss Jesus. And if you miss Jesus, you're going to miss heaven. You're going to miss heaven. Jesus said in John 3:3, verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again. If you don't get born again, Jesus said, you can't even see the kingdom of God. I don't care how many church memberships you have. I don't care where you belong. I don't care where you've been baptized. If you've not been born again, you'll never get to see heaven. You've got to be born again. I'm glad the night I got saved, I'm glad it wasn't a cold, dead service. I'm glad the preacher preached that night with power. I'm glad the Lord was there. I didn't understand much about the Bible, but I went forward and God was there. I was in a spiritual maternity ward that night I got saved. I'm glad of that. I'm glad I wasn't around a cold, dead service. God was there. And that old deacon put his arm around me, and I said yes to Jesus. And that old deacon was a spiritual midwife. He got me through to Jesus. Now I'm not bragging on myself, because the Lord did it. I couldn't save myself, and you can't either. The Lord has to do it. But I'm glad that night, on Sunday night, July 15th, 1945, I'm glad Jesus saved me. I'm glad I got more than a church membership. I'm glad I got more than a little profession. I'm glad I got more than baptism. I'm glad the Lord saved me that night. And He's helped me, and He's been with me down through the years. And I found out that the old time religion is not only good enough to live by, it's good enough to die by. By the way, if your religion is not good enough to die by, it's not good enough to live by. When I won't go into that about my experience with that heart catheterization, I was scared to death when they told me I had a bad heart and they were going to go down in my heart, scared to death. But then the Lord took that fear away. And I'm glad that when they went down in my heart, doctor said two or three other things, said might get me. But then he said, when we release that dye in your heart could be allergic to that dye. But I said, I understand, doctor. And Dr. Jesus took the fear away from me. And as they were going down in my heart, I was on that table, and I thought it's fixing to put that dye out of my heart. And I thought as soon as that dye, I was there looking up, and I thought, if that dye hits my heart and I'm allergic to it, the next person I'll see will be Jesus. I'll get to go to heaven and see Jesus right off this table. Boy, the old-time religion works. When you stare death right in the face, the old-time religion works. I'm glad of that this morning. Now let me ask you these questions. Can you say that you have the old-time religion? Has it made a difference in your life? If it hasn't made a difference in your life, I'd check up. And do you have the hope of heaven in your soul? And I beg you, folks, listen to me. Listen to your preacher. Now, a lot of people could have done a lot better job than I've done today. But there's nobody any more interested in your soul than I am right now. And I beg you, don't go to hell out of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't miss the old-time religion. Don't miss the new birth. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment, please. No one else leaving, please. No one else leaving. No one else leaving, please. Unless you're sick. For just a moment. We're going to be gone in just a few minutes. No one leaving. For just a moment. How many can say this morning, preacher, I'm glad that I didn't just make a profession. I'm glad that I didn't just get baptized. But I'm glad that I got saved. And I'm not saying you claim to be perfect. I'm not. No one is. But can you say this morning, I'm glad that I'm saved. Now I'm glad that I have a hope of heaven in my life, my heart. And I'm glad, I'm not what it should be, but it's made a difference in my life. It gives me a desire to live right and live for Jesus. Do you know the old-time religion this morning? Can you say that? With heads bowed and eyes closed, just raise your hand if you can say, yes, preacher, I'm glad I can testify to that. Just sort of wave your hand a little bit. Wave your hand, yes. Put your hands down. Maybe today the Lord has spoken to your heart. And you'll say, preacher, I'd really like to know Christ in a real way. I don't believe I'm saved, preacher. My life hasn't been changed. I have no hope of heaven in my soul. The Lord's not real to me. As far as I know, I've never known the presence of God in my life. Preacher, I'm not saved. Or maybe you are saved this morning. You say, preacher, I have no victory in my life. There's no real power in my life. And the presence of God is not real to me like it once was. There's a spiritual need in your life. And you'll say, preacher, pray for me. Whatever the need is, we'd like to pray for you. Just slip your hand up all over the house. Let me pray for you. Just slip your hand. Yes, God bless you. Anyone? Just put it back down. Yes, sir. Thank God for this fine man over here. Anyone else? What about it, young people? Young people, you won't make it unless you're saved, unless you're born again. You won't make it. You won't make it. There's no way you're going to make it unless you get born again. And Christian, if this morning you have you've lost the sense of God's presence, there's no real victory, you ought to come to this altar and say, Lord, I want your power and I want victory in my life. Anyone else, just slip your hand right up. And I'll pray for you in the closing word of prayer. With these already raised their hand. Anyone else? God's speaking to you. Don't miss the new birth. If you miss the new birth, you miss Jesus. If you miss Jesus, you'll miss heaven. Anyone else, right before we pray. Some reason, maybe you're saved, but you just need the Lord to do something fresh for you this morning. Or whatever the need is. Anyone else, right quick. Just slip your hand up and put, yes, God bless you back here. Thank God for this one back here. Anyone else? Wait just another second to anyone else. Preacher, there's a hunger in my heart to really know the Lord or the hunger to get right with the Lord today as a Christian. Pray for me. Anyone else? Anyone in the choir? God bless you. Anyone else? Preacher, I want more victory in my life. Pray for me. Father, we thank you today for this privilege of just sharing our soul, sharing our burden. Lord, my heart goes out to my members. Lord, I want them walking with Jesus and living a godly life and knowing the blessing of God and want our parents raising their children for God. Lord, that's my desire. So, Lord, I pray that we will know the old-time religion and round Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and in our homes, and we'll live for Thee and have a testimony for Jesus and have victory in our lives. And I pray for these that raised their hand, those that didn't raise their hand. Lord, speak to their heart. May they come and rededicate their lives or get saved. I mean, get born again this morning. Holy Spirit, draw men and women, boys and girls to this altar now. And we'll thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, I've tried to be honest with my soul and give you my burden this morning. And I hope you'll let the Lord speak to your heart. The altar's going to be open. The invitation.